There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We talk food, recipes, ingredients, food news, and more. Being here, of course, in the capital, we're also lucky enough to be joined by two prominent international chefs based right here in Abu Dhabi. But first, I would like to welcome to the show food writer, keen eater, lover of honest food, wonderfully talented photographer, and blogger at My Custard Pie, Sally Prosser, welcome.
I'm blushing now. Good morning. Good afternoon.
How are you enjoying this amazing Abu Dhabi afternoon? The weather is stunning. We are here at Abu Dhabi Golf Course.
Well, I'm the ultimate golf widow, so I've visited quite a few golf courses in my life, but it's beautiful here. Just a little bit of cloud, blue sky, beautiful temperature, golfers wandering past.
It is. Really it's cool. Just a great atmosphere for everybody to come down. There are all sorts of food trucks here as well. So come along and enjoy the golf. The world's biggest names are here, but also we've got some fantastic food. And when it's great weather, that's what you want to do. You want to go on a picnic, don't you, Sally?
Definitely.
And what is your favorite thing to take on a picnic? It's got to be easy. It's got to be something you can transport with you. It's got to be delicious. What's your pick?
I think a quiche is definitely my pick of picnic food. Obviously, I absolutely adore a sandwich, but they're not that transferable sometimes. You know, they go a bit soggy. So a really good structured quiche with flaky pastry, a nice deep filling.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. I like it. We've been having a look at your blog, and we're going to get to your slow-cooked onion tart as well in there. But it is a very full show, because we have two world-class chefs that we are going to be welcoming to the Thursday brunch here in Abu Dhabi, as we just said. But first, I would like to welcome Executive Chef Niraj Pianandri. Hello.
Good afternoon.
I just want to let everybody know about what you've done, because it is so much. You oversee 15 venues across Le Meridien Abu Dhabi and Sheraton Abu Dhabi Hotel and Resort. 25 years of experience. You are originally from Mauritius, and your culinary journey has taken you all over the world: Monaco, Germany, India, the UK, South Africa, the UAE, and Oman. It's just amazing. But I want to take you back to Mauritius and growing up there, because I was lucky enough to visit Mauritius over the summer, and it's just, it's a breathtaking place. You've got the mountains, you've got the sea, you've got the nature, you've got a kaleidoscope of colour everywhere you look, all of the cultures. Take me back and those influences on you from your homeland.
I mean, my homeland, Mauritius, I mean, it's a great, great place. I would say for me, it's one of the countries that I'm missing a lot, because quite some time I've been back in other countries working, I mean, showing my trade. However, my country, first of all, is not only a country in itself. It's just a blend. You have the soul of every element of the people, of the food culture, of the green that we have back home. And on top of it, you need to be there to have a look. It's so much to explain to you. But we have a very big multicultural spot where you have a blend of Indian, you have a blend of Chinese, the European culture, the African culture, and on top of it, that relate to it, the food. And on top of it, our country, you see, we are Mauritian at the end of the day. Yeah, first, and then what the cultures come after, this is something else. But what we want to show people is true Mauritian philosophy of what we do. What we show people is should be the DNA, and that's what, when you as a tourist you go to this country, this is what you see and what you bring along with you. It's all the best of the best that we want to offer, with a very limited resources. Yeah, but I'm proud of my country, to be honest.
Oh, and so you should be. But it is that incredible blend that does create, as you say, something so unique. But we were talking a little bit earlier and how important it is to remember that food is so attached to the place where it comes from, the people, the place where it's grown, how it's grown, all of these things, and you feel, and the soul of the people who make it, who it comes through the food. This is something that I really noticed.
Yeah, definitely, because what is it all about? Because Mauritius, if you see, I mean, in the southern hemisphere, we are far from quite a lot of countries, even though we are connected to the world. However, everything that we have on the island, we need to use it. We need to make things out of it. So how are we going to do that? The influence of cultures, the influence of different nationals, yeah, that blend the food culture, that's the most important. So you have, when you're eating, for example, in an European cultured family, you will not have only this European food that you will see. You will see this Indian cultures there. You will see this Chinese blend of it. You will have this African cultures. So everybody, they embrace this kind of food and cultures, and they keep going and keep discovering, and they keep offering to other people. And it's all about sharing, you know. Food is all about sharing. It's not only to go for something else that you like, but sharing and then enjoy it. This is what it's all about.
Moving from Mauritius, you went to and you trained in Monaco at the iconic Michelin-starred restaurant Louis XV, Alain Ducasse. And, of course, you moved to L'Atelier de Joël Robuchon before moving to the Ivy in London, just iconic restaurants. And take us through that experience and what it was like, what you learned there.
I mean, what I learned there is all about the passion, love of cooking, and bringing a simple produce to life, but in a very elegant way. So food should be all about love, passion, and delivery. So you should put your identity on the plate. And also, whatever you put on the plate should be an experience, a discovery. So this is where also the chef come in, is all about discipline, a desire to deliver the best. So you have all type of chef, and every chef defines their cooking according to what they believe. But there, what we do is the best of the best. We want to do simple thing, having great life across, you know. So I believe that this kind of place is really needed in the world, because we need gourmet travelers. You need quality food. You need the plating, the art of plating. And then also you can see the chef in the plate, yeah, because this is the identity of the chef.
Where do you feel that local ingredients come in, you know, on these international stages?
The local ingredient is all about, I mean, I would say we take regional ingredients first. Because if you want to develop food, you want to develop menus, you want to develop a dish, you have to look around where you get the fruit from. How are you going to bring this food to life? And which techniques you're going to apply. So you have to look after all these elements and the costs. Yeah. So that's where we as a chef will look after every single bits of it, because cost matters, and then you deliver the best.
And it's all about making sure it comes back to the place, because it's also an ethical decision, isn't it, for the world and for the environment. But we're going to get really stuck in with you, Chef Niraj, ask you about your favorite picnic foods and plates. You've brought us some amazing dishes here as well.
Guess the ingredients.
Sally.
Today's mystery ingredient has been cultivated for over 5,000 years, and members of this family are native to Asia and the Middle East. But the name of today's mystery ingredient comes from the Latin unis, meaning one or single.
As we were mentioning, it is a stunning day here in Abu Dhabi at the HSBC Championship presented by EGA. I am joined by Sally Prosser of My Custard Pie.
Hello again.
But also joined by Chef Niraj of Sheraton Abu Dhabi and also Le Meridian Hotel Abu Dhabi as well. You oversee 15 different venues. Amazing, amazing experience that you have behind you. But we want to talk picnics today and what you love to take to a picnic, Chef.
Actually, I would say picnic for me should be not only full of carbs, yeah, it should be a mix of healthy components when you bring for picnic, light, because you don't want to go to a picnic and then you feel too heavy. You want to feel light so that you enjoy the time, and also you can really keep yourself healthy. So this is what I think about, that whenever I if I go for a picnic, especially we're looking for the future and this year actually, I'll try to keep everything fresh.
But isn't that the challenge? I mean, taking a salad on a picnic is really hard, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's not. Because
to get warm and soggy.
Not really.
What's your tips?
I would say if you go for a picnic, you don't need to have the salad already tossed or mix up with the dressing. You have the dressing separately, you have all your components of the salad already, for example, in a jar, and then you bring your dressing separately. Thereof, when you are at your venues and you just put your dressing, toss it, and off you go.
You do have to be smart about it, don't you? And you're going to show us through the three different dishes that you brought for us today how to do it properly, how to keep those ingredients fresh and just popping in your mouth when you get there to the picnic site.
Guess the ingredient.
Today's mystery ingredient was actually worshipped in ancient Egypt. These plants were an inevitable part of burial rituals, and tombs of most rulers are covered with pictures of today's mystery ingredient. Egyptians believed that today's mystery ingredient possessed magic powers and was even used as a currency along with parsley and garlic.
I am very pleased that we are joined today by Chef Niraj from Sheraton Abu Dhabi and Le Meridien Abu Dhabi. You oversee everything that that happens there. But I want to get to some food news. You've actually brought in a great food news story, Chef. Tell us more about it.
I wanted to talk about especially killing lobsters, for example. In Europe and everywhere you are, especially, chef used to kill lobster when by the head, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's the new laws that has been brought up in Switzerland, where you are no more allowed to do that.
So the old way is really quite brutal, isn't it? You plunge it into hot water, is that right?
Yeah, when it is alive.
So it's alive.
Yeah, it's
and
alive.
It screams.
Yeah, it's like you know, it's like a crime, yeah. I would say, yeah. So, I mean, it's something that mostly was being done.
Yeah.
And now, especially it started in Switzerland, say, no, don't do that anymore. And that's a law.
And this is starting from March the 1st, I believe, this year, yeah, that they are going to be making sure that this is outlawed, that they have to be stunned.
Yeah, it should be practiced because it's also respecting every kind of animals. I would say this is a crustacean that everybody eats, and is a lot throughout the world.
Yeah.
So it's something I think we need to consider, because nowadays it's all about also having not only food on your plate. You should also have respect towards what you're putting on your plate.
Absolutely, but yeah, it's interesting because the University of Maine's Lobster Institute, I didn't know that there was a Lobster Institute, but at the University of Maine, they say that the animal's nervous system might not be complex enough to sense pain, and this is why they've never done it before.
But it might be complex enough on the other side, you know. Mm. I think that's, we have to assume that it might be complex enough, and it could be sensing real horrible pain, yeah.
Yeah, it should be, because, you know, like...
It's a living thing.
Yeah, it's a living thing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to eat it. We want to eat it, I mean, in a good way.
This is so important. I mean, like you said, Chef, to really respect the food that you are eating, particularly if it's coming from a live source as such. Something else I want to ask you about are the food trends that you're seeing at the moment that are really coming about, maybe the ones that you want to see as well.
Yeah, I would say the food trend that we are having, actually, we are much more focused on healthy eating. Healthy eating that is bringing you the wealth as well. Yeah. So as I connect most of the news that I'm speaking to you today, it's all about real good things with respect on the plate. And when I talk about the lobster, I talk about the fresh products, the fresh vegetables from farm to plates that we are all talking about. So also, it's not a massive production. we have also to consider the people that have minimum investment that they are doing. So how we also will include these people into the world of food that's happening today.
So the people that are growing the things get as much of a reward as people who are packaging it up or shipping it across the world or processing it, you mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We have to also give them the chance of selling their own products to us. And also we, also as a matter of respect towards those people who is working hard, we give them this opportunity to bring their food to life. And this is what we are doing nowadays.
And also to tell their stories, because the more we know about the stories of the people who produce the food, the more connection we have to them, the connection to the land that they use to produce the food, the oceans. Yeah. It is so important, really, isn't it? Because it brings the whole process to life for us. We're not simply going to a supermarket and picking up the produce from there and that's it.
Yeah.
You understand and you respect.
Yeah, definitely. Because these people, they feel proud of their products when you are buying it, you know. And also, we are giving them this opportunity to continuous development, and thereby, people will keep doing things for the best for each and everybody. Massive production, commercial production is something else that's happening. But what about the others who don't have this opportunity of investment? So we keep showing our support, and then by our support, we will keep having the best produce to eat. I think this is where we as a chef, and me personally, I look into.
It connects to something that we've been talking about this week as well, because Spinneys are known for making sure that we know the stories of the producers of their own produce that they sell in their supermarkets, and they are Global GAP members. And so what they've done now is they have developed a new initiative where you can go in, you can have a look, say, at Stone Fruit or something, and you can scan the Global GAP number on your phone, and then it will take you to the website and you can have a look at the stories of the producers, who they are, where they are, how they bring that produce to the supermarket, to your plate. And you really do feel that connection. It's so important, isn't
it? And it's a food safety issue. I mean, all the big scandals about, you know, horse meat in food, various things like that, because the food chain has become so untransparent and so multi-layered. So I think, you know, knowing exactly where it is, from shortening that food chain and giving an investment, asking questions, I think it's brilliant. I love that Global GAP idea.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Sally, your food news story as well.
Well, that's a bit about transparency, I guess. I think it's absolutely extraordinary. So there's this fish in Japan which has, the liver is potentially fatal, but people eat the rest of the fish. But unfortunately, in one supermarket, they put in the deadly neurotoxic livers into a few of them, and it's been so bad. The fugu fish. And they're even, you know, the authorities are broadcasting on wireless systems and really trying to warn everyone, don't eat this fish because you could die. I just find it extraordinary that you would take that risk at eating anything, that, you know, even there's a small chance that you might die.
It's really interesting because it relates back to your food safety idea, but this is a supermarket in central Japan that sold 5 packages of fugu fish without removing the livers. And, of course, that can contain a deadly poison. But imagine taking that home and not realizing it's not one of those things that you want to be doing. But this is a very popular delicacy in Japan.
Yeah, but would you ever? Would you eat fugu fish ever? Would you take that risk?
Have you had that, Chef?
No, I've never had it, but I will not try it.
There's quite a risk involved, and you just wonder, you just think, I wouldn't go for it personally, but there it is something that is very popular.
I nearly said life's too short, but it would be, wouldn't it?
It would be even shorter indeed. They are some of the food news stories that have caught your eye this week. But we do have another mystery ingredient clue to give out now.
Guess the ingredient.
Today's mystery ingredient is the second most important horticultural crop after tomatoes, and it is a leaf crop. Globally, 60 million tons of today's mystery ingredient are produced each year, and the average person consumes 13.7 pounds of today's mystery ingredient every year.
Yes, welcome back to the Thursday brunch. I've got with me Sally Prosser and Chef Neeraj, and we are talking picnic food. What are some of the messages coming in, Sally?
Well, Nuha likes a dish of coronation chicken, which is a really good one to take on a picnic, I reckon. Karen said cheese and pickle sandwiches, another excellent choice. And someone just said hummus.
Oh, yes. I agree. Hummus is a great one. A good tabbouleh is great to take with you as well. Make that beforehand. Bring it along. Shiri says biryani. We always take a big pot with us on a picnic and share it all round. Andre says some good roast chicken with some smashed avocado, sweet chili sauce, and shallots on some really good sourdough.
God, I'm going on that picnic.
Yeah, I think that's my pick right there. But we do have Chef Neeraj with us of Sheraton Abu Dhabi and Le Meridien Abu Dhabi. Now, your picks, you've got three dishes that you've brought in for us today that are perfect for a picnic. Tell us more about them.
I mean, I made a kale salad. A kale salad with edamame. You have carrots that I get it into tagliatelle, a bit of onions, and then with a little bit of ginger into it, ginger, soy sauce, a little bit of rapeseed oil. So I do the dressing separately, and all the components, I just toss it and keep it in a bowl.
And they're quite robust, aren't they? They're not like a limp lettuce leaf. Kale and the beans, etc. So again, it gets away from that sort of soggy salad,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's fresh. It's a lot of fibers into it.
Yeah.
And keep a good balance, because you're not going to bring only salad for the picnic, something else. However, it's just very fresh, healthy.
It really is. But it's not just healthy, because every time we hear healthy, we think, oh, the taste is gone. It is so tasty. Yeah. It is really delicious. We've got two videos going up on our Facebook page as well, if you want to check those out. Our producer Aisha is putting those up of us tasting these dishes, which are remarkably easy to put together. They're colorful. I love the color in this salad. It's not just the flavors that you get in there, but it's just, you know, the basil is in there. You've got the lovely ginger. It gives it a nice kick as well. The lime juice. So all of these flavors that are just so fresh and really pop. And like you said, just, you know, prepare it beforehand and throw that dressing on when you're ready to go.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mm. And the other one that I prepare for you, I prepare the butternut squash. I mean, what I did is just use bulb of it, the bulb I've taken off, and on the top one, make it like a spaghetti. So make it more fun to eat as well. Yeah.
So do you is that raw or do you cook it?
It's raw.
Raw butternut squash noodles. Wow.
Yeah, it's like a noodle. So it's a noodle machine. Just make it up, you know, roll it and make it. And then use a bit of pomegranate seed, you know, pumpkin seeds, a little bit of onions, fresh Parmesan cheese, yeah. And you make a dressing separately. So put everything in a jar, as I said. Don't throw the jar at home. Keep it. And then whenever you go out, you have 10, 20 jars. Put everything into it. And afterwards, dressing in. Shake it.
That was a jam jar, wasn't it?
Yes,
with
jam
the
jars.
Red and white checked lid.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you can reuse it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant because, you know, we talk so much about reducing waste. This is a perfect way to do it, reusing what you've already got. And it just looks so cute. It's just
really
a brilliant
cute
idea. Very clean. It's not plastic, which is brilliant. We love that. But this, I love the idea of the spiralizer. And I've heard, you know, Chef Athena last week talked about using one. She's vegan and she loves to use it for things like this, you know, to just really shake up different ingredients and have them in a different way. Because we have butternut squash. Often you put it, you know, whether it's in a soup or you roast it. But this is a whole new way of having it.
Yeah, definitely. So you make it more fun. More fun. And then also, for example, you don't eat only spaghetti with the normal pasta. But you turn a vegetable in a pasta. So how fun is it? I mean, even the children will love it if you keep encouraging them eating this kind of food. You know, I think for me it's brilliant, and yeah, you can do that and also keep in your fridge at home.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It does encourage the kids. Not to say that it's a, you know, this kind of food is just for kids.
No.
These are very adult flavors. Well, they're beautiful.
I might encourage my husband to eat butternut squash as well because he won't.
Yeah.
Very much. But I have to say, this is my absolute favorite. The Spanish beef chechina or cecina with creamy blue cheese.
Yeah, it's simple. You know, take a pear with you, cut it into six, take the seed out. Get the blue cheese, mash it with your fork, a little bit of Greek yogurt, you know, mix it up, just put it on the wedge, a slice of cecinas, and with just some rocket leaves, off you go, simple.
And you put a few chives on there, didn't you,
for that little... a few chives just to give a bit
really,
more...
really, really,
you know,
good that was.
Blend of it, and that's it, yeah.
You've got the freshness of the juicy pears there, you've got the creaminess and the tanginess. Yeah. Of the cheese and the peppery rocket or arugula.
Yeah.
And the gorgeous, gorgeous beef there on top. It is, every bite that you take has all of those flavors in it, and it just really is stunning. Yeah. Thank you so much, Chef. That's just, it's amazing. So these are the wonderful things that you prepare. You prepared for us today, and we thank you so much. We're going to have those recipes on our website as well. So go to the Dubai Today page on Dubai Eye 103.8. We will have those recipes there for you. Make them at home and enjoy, and make sure you check out the social media as well to see photos and video of these gorgeous dishes. But our mystery ingredient for the first hour, we've got to announce a winner now. So the mystery ingredient was, Sally?
It was the onion. Who knew? I wouldn't have got that one, I'll tell you.
The onion. Most people got it right. So, but congratulations, Charles and Karen. Chef Niraj, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
I am joined, as you just heard there, by my custard pies, Sally Prosser. And as we just said, we were joined by one master chef in the first hour, and now we are pleased to be joined by another. Chef Reina Lipfer is executive chef at Shangri-La Hotel and Traders Hotel, Qaryat al-Birri, Abu Dhabi, leading the culinary team in the Qaryat al-Birri complex, overseeing 10 restaurants and bars, 10 banquet and conference spaces, and in-room dining. You've got, Chef, 20 years of experience under your belt. You were awarded one Michelin star at just the age of 23, 16 points from the Guild Mio, whilst at the hotel restaurant Heinzler in your native Germany. But so much more to talk to you about. You have such an interesting story. Chef Reina, welcome to the Thursday Brunch.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, great to have you with us. Now, take us through. We were just asking the chef earlier about how he came to love food. What about you? Where did it all start for you, loving food and wanting to take your culinary passion to the next stage and become a chef?
Well, a very good afternoon. Thank you for having me here. I think today, when I got into the world of culinary, it was actually a very young age. Around I was like 8-9 years old. Native of the region around where I'm coming, of my native country of Germany. So it's all growing around you, and the food quality is just like, you fall in love with it when you pick up from the tree and this stuff. And I used to do different activities during school time on holiday jobs. So I didn't fail to go out into the winter or do or work anywhere else. So I said kitchen life is not bad. And every morning these beautiful smells, and on the weekends the cooking. And this way it all started off. And then, food is so much more to talk about, actually.
So this is from a young age that it's become a passion of yours. But talk to us about the Heinzler and how that came to be. Michelin star at 23.
Right. I mean, you're doing in Germany your normal culinary degrees, and then it's just a time where when you're so much in love with food, you keep studying, you keep trying it, you keep looking into different books, and you get inspired by many, many other great chefs of the region. And then, of course, I used to work in many Michelin star restaurants and 2-star and 3-star as a young chef, and then basically went back and trying your own going for this Michelin star activity. And there's the Lake Constance, obviously, in the region, gives you everything from the wine trees to the lake for the fresh seafood. you get, and it's very close to the Black Forest, so you have a lot of influence from French cuisine, Austrian cuisine across the sea, Swiss cuisine. So it becomes so diversity, and then you actually, cooking is there fairly easy because the nature providing you your produce.
It's just, it's wonderful to think about that, you know, coming from Germany, and like you said, the nature just gives you everything. Your favorite dishes from your from Germany?
Well, obviously I love the season when it's spring, when everything, after a long time of winter, everything starts growing again and coming up. Is it at the forest time when you're catching the wild garlic, right? You bring it back in your kitchen, you cook soups, you combine it with fish. It's just
I love that wild garlic, walking in the countryside and then it all coming up in spring. Yeah, it must be wonderful to cook with.
Absolutely.
So beautiful. And then, of course, you have actually been in the region, within Asia and within the Middle East since about 2007.
Right.
And so it's kind of, it's a whole big change for you. And I love this because you have been going to places like Bahrain, China, Malaysia, Thailand. And this is great because in your tenure in China, you held the culinary operations for the 2016 G20 Hangzhou Summit delegation. So you had the world's biggest leaders there. We're going to ask you in just a moment about the kind of things that you cooked for them and prepared for them and the menus that you had for them. We are here in the capital as well, and we are joined by Sally Prosser of My Custard Pie.
Hello.
And Chef Raina Lupfer, Executive Chef at Shangri-La Hotel and Traders Hotel, Qaryat al-Birri Abu Dhabi. Great to have you with us here today. As we said just before we crossed over to Danny, you have taken your experience to places such as Bahrain and China, Malaysia and Thailand, including China, where before we talk about the 2016 G20 summit and what it was like to cook there, what kind of things did you learn coming from Germany, coming from Europe, and going into Asia and the Middle East? What was that? What was that like for you?
I think very exciting, actually. I think when you're making these decisions to going into these countries, I think first of all you have to be very open-minded and researching about the countries. Cultural backgrounds. I think that's very important in order to even to understand and succeed there. Coming to the Middle East, a totally change to Europe, right? A totally different cultural establishments, and I think you're just going to enjoy it and live with it and experience especially the food part, because my philosophy is always about food is culture and culture is food. It's so close connected to each other.
I see you also were at St. Andrews.
Yes.
Obviously that's a famous place for golf. You know, any secrets? What do the top golfers eat? Or did you find something that was, you know, linked to golf that was nowhere else in the world?
Well, this was one of my younger times of the career, so it was exciting to actually have Tiger Woods there at this time. And Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones dining with us.
Wow.
And of course, our restaurant was looking right away over the famous golf bridge, the small one, and on the 18 holes, and, you know, home of golf, St. Andrews, absolutely, right? So even more excited also to doing or being the official hotel and catering here at the HSBC Abu Dhabi Championship. So quite remarkable how sometimes life goes.
Absolutely.
Now the G20 summit, in China, you cooked for the likes of, tell us who you were cooking for in terms of world leaders who attended and what kind of things you had to design for their menus.
Well, I mean, the G20 says itself is the 20 topic from economic countries, the leaders. It's not about what we want to cook, it's about really what is the country standing for, and obviously it is directed by the President Xi Jinping.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously China has gone on a very fast transformation with a very rapidly economic growth, and of course this has to be reflected in their culture at this time. So we wanted to reflect the culture of China with their wealth, and obviously we just opened there before the Midtown Shangri-La Hangzhou as well, and we hosted the G20 Hangzhou Summit there. as at one of the most acclaimed city by Marco Polo at this time. So this was more about really China as China representing.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting to be as a foreign chef on the head of this and deciding with your Chinese culinary team actually menus what has been transforming over many thousand years on food cultures from there to now as the country is standing for. Quite remarkable.
I'm going to ask you more about that in just a moment. You have served personalities including the likes of George W. Bush, Michael Schumacher,
right.
Tony Blair, Michael Douglas, as you just said, Tiger Woods. I want to talk about them in more detail in just a moment. And Sally has got the first clue.
Guess the ingredient.
Today's mystery ingredient comes from mid-sized birds found in Europe, North Africa, the United States, and some parts of Asia. In the Far East, records of the mid-sized bird, clue there, goes back as far as 770 BC, and they have been bred domestically for over 4,000 years. The Egyptians realized that today's mystery ingredient was an brilliant source of protein for their workers and was so common that they had their own hieroglyph.
Welcome back to the Thursday brunch, and Chef Raina has brought quite a gorgeous picnic basket with an amazing selection of food here that we're just about to go through. I've just tried the turmeric chicken sandwiches. Sally, you are trying the cold pizza muffins.
Yeah.
They're just amazing. So a bit of baba ghanoush in there. We've got baklava. He's got some real Middle Eastern flavors in there. But first, we didn't get to do the second mystery ingredient. We'll do it now. And
guess the ingredient.
Here's your second clue.
So this mystery ingredient in many cultures is considered cute. Poor thing. It's packed with nutrients, though, which makes a delicious and healthy option to add to your diet, including vitamin A and 140% of the daily recommended amount of vitamin B1, and plays an important role in maintaining a healthy nervous system and improving the cardiovascular functioning of the body.
A couple of people may have got it right, but get those guesses in very quickly. So we have the chef right here who is responsible for the food that comes out of there. Chef, before we jump into talking about the selection of food that you have brought to us, the kind of people that you have cooked for in the past, including George W. Bush, including Michael Schumacher, now What kind of things would you be designing for them in terms of menus? What do they like to eat?
I have experienced to them, obviously, that they like to have simple food.
Okay.
I think sometimes we chefs tend to overdo that. However, they love actually their food they get from their parents where they have been growing up, right? And actually, this is what we've been doing. And actually, the simplicity and more focus on the flavor is more for them worth than everything else. I think they get over-treated with many beautiful things all the time. So I took the approach of make it actually very simple for them, almost like grandma-style cuisine, yeah, from the 50s or 60s.
It doesn't mean you can't cook, does it, that you keep things simple? I think actually sometimes the worst chef puts everything in the kitchen sink. It's knowing what to leave out sometimes, in my humble opinion.
Right. I think the more simple it is sometimes, the more beautiful it is, right?
Yeah.
I think simple is beautiful. My thoughts of culinary anyway is actually three flavors, because more it's about your smell, your taste, and you see. These are the senses who are connected to it. And everything else on flavors needs to be really, really well balanced to go into the food. Otherwise, it comes a little bit over, yeah? However, as we today in world, we're catering for so many different nationalities around the globe. If traveling becomes so much, so you have to adjust and going with the global travel market as well, right? But for celebrities, absolutely keep it simple and down to basics.
It almost surprises me, but it makes perfect sense, because they'd be going to the best restaurants all the time, and you know, everybody wants to impress, don't they?
Right.
And sometimes it's actually better to just take a step back, keep it simple, and just have the best produce.
Absolutely. I mean, I had the pleasure of meeting Michael Schumacher during his F1 racing time at Mandarin Oriental in Malaysia, example. And I met him and asked him, what is your dinner like? And he said, chef, make me a simple praise veal ossobuco, yeah? With some homemade pasta. That was his himself,
right? Ossobuco with
right.
pasta.
Absolutely.
For Michael Schumacher.
Right. That's what he wanted.
Just
that's what we did.
A slow-cooked ossobuco.
Absolutely.
That's what he... I like that. Yeah, I love it. Love it. Let's go to picnic food. That's what we're talking about today as well. We'd love to hear from you, 4001 or on the app. Tell us your favorite picnic food dishes that you love to take along with you on a beautiful day out. No better place than the WWHSBC Championship to be today outdoors. And, Chef, you've actually got your stand here as well at the tournament as well, at the village, so people can come and taste your fantastic food?
Obviously not, but you can come to us and having a drink over there. And then
you can do that.
We are not far away from here, 10 minutes with your car, and you're right at our beautiful hotel, having all the beautiful restaurants to try, freshly cooked for you.
Tell us about the kind of dishes that you've brought in, because it's a full picnic basket here, so many different things for everybody, for every taste. Take us through it.
Yeah. Well, it's big. I think it's central, a little bit small. I think today the food trend is a little bit vegan and on the healthy food part, obviously. And we are in no better region of the Middle East where you have all beautiful creations of baba ganoush, healthy olives to go with some beautiful hummus to go with fresh fruits, passion fruit, a little bit chocolate for the sweet hint, some fresh vegetable spring rolls to go, some juices. Sata, fresh mint. I think picnic today is everybody has their own perception, so I would suggest you come to our hotel, we make it customized for you what you would like to take, and we recommend you where to go.
But what makes for a great picnic food, something that you can take out with you that transports well, because that's very important. It's got to be something that you can whip up quickly. Something like that. What would be your number one pick?
My number one pick will be obviously something what you can keep safe, what is not really out into heat or any problems with food safety, because you don't want to have a picnic or any troubles with your any of your health things. So fruits, yes, some baguettes, some good cheese, some dips always you can take along with because they're all cooked through. Yeah, and this goes well.
Keeping it mainly vegetarian, you said.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned vegan food as well. I know that's becoming more and more demand on menus. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, what we have done at our hotel, at the Shangri-La Hotel here in Abu Dhabi, all our restaurants offering vegan food now, what we have taken on. The global world's population, including many celebrities, just recently doing some big event here in Abu Dhabi. We also had some people who are aiming for vegan, and absolutely, and we as a Shangri-La Hotel, we need to listen to our customers and adjusting our food offerings according to their needs today of more healthy living and selected items also from our regions, obviously, we are doing. But we want to cross-promote very strongly as a company. Yes, I think that's very important to listen to our guests, what they are looking for, and vegan is just a big trend at the moment.
So we've got, Sally, you've just tasted the gorgeous pizza muffin. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I quite like things that are quite simple. So it's got a nice dough underneath. So it's the texture of a muffin, but the taste of a pizza on top with a very nice oven-roasted tomato on top and then the melted cheese. Very nice.
And it's that thing of taking cold pizza with you.
Mm.
We love it. It's great.
True.
But, of course, this week you were saying that the Napoli's pizza has actually taken the UNESCO status, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Last week, actually, it was announced.
Last week, this was announced. This is the pizza twirling Napoli's pizza. This is a very special to that particular region. Why does that make it, different when they do that? What does it do to the dough?
I think in Napoli, when you go to Napoli, there's like over 3,000 pizzaiolos, obviously, and I think it has just been created this great honor of having created one of the biggest and most likely fast food thing in the world. And and it's a huge cultural pride of what they're taking, of how this making. I'm very proud actually for the Italians that finally some of this food became in cultural UNESCO status. And I hope so that actually the French baguette in the future going to be the same. I think these are food parts what, has been created over so many years, and everybody loves it actually. And I think that's great for the culinary world that actually food been taken into this next level of UNESCO cultural heritages.
Guess the ingredients.
Today's mystery ingredient is widely consumed and sold as novelty food around the world and is a popular addition to Japanese bento boxes, which are typically eaten 3 to 5 at a time due to their smaller size. It is, of course, a perfect addition to a family picnic.
I'm just loving Chef Raina's face right now. He's thinking of what that mystery ingredient could be. If you know what it
he's
is.
He's clueless.
Text in. Talking the best of picnic food on the Thursday brunch today with me, Sally Musa, Sally Prosser, and Chef Raina Lupfer. Now, we've got to keep going with the lovely selection you've brought today in your picnic basket. There is a turmeric chicken sandwiches on the special white bread bun that you've brought in. It's not like a normal bun that I've normally had, but all of those spices coming through and the lovely the kick of the chili in there as well. But I noticed that you've put chili into the baba ghanoush too as well that we've just had.
Actually not.
No?
No.
It was kind of spicy when I had some.
Couldn't it be then the wrong recipe has been
taken.
Must have
been something else that I had. Must have been something else that I had. But your thoughts, Sally, on the food. We've just had as well a rice roll, a lovely rice paper roll with the smoked salmon in there as well. Lovely fresh flavors there too. But what did you have?
Yeah, I'm trying to be vegetarian for January just to keep, you know, meat down to more of a minimum. And I had a little roll stuffed full of beautiful roast vegetables with a touch of za'atar. It's absolutely gorgeous. I've had one bite and, you know, I want to put this microphone down now and have another bite. It's absolutely delicious. Mm. And you were saying, Chef, about turmeric in the chicken.
Right.
Turmeric as being one of the big ingredients of 2018.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is an ingredient of a root what has so many actually antitoxins, health benefits, and many other very much supporting your daily health being, right? And turmeric is similar as from the Indian subcontinent when it comes out, where you also calling actually the wall of spices. However, turmeric is just has been not much brought out over the last couple of years. There was always some other ingredients like chili brings you happiness or the spiciness.
I love a turmeric latte. Do you do those?
Right. This is also coming. So now,
fantastic.
That's so love them.
It just keeps going, right? And I think overall, turmeric and the North African spices like Ras El Hanout and all these things is all in the coming now because of just younger people keep traveling more and they experience obviously different destinations and this they're taking back home. And then, it just becomes a trend, and hopefully chefs like us can also promote this kind of ingredients. I think we are the ones who should be the leading one of offering this our menus and being out of the educational part. So when you come at the Shangri-La Hotel, you actually find a little description of our vegan counter, where we actually displaying also the health benefits of za'atar, what is a local ingredient, and of turmeric. Into our vegan offerings, such as with couscous or any other beautiful dishes we do.
You're certainly incorporating those Middle Eastern flavors in there. You've got the baba ghanoush, the za'atar, the mint is in there as well. And even for dessert, you've got some baklava, which is perfect for picnics. It travels really well, doesn't it?
Safe. To take with nutty, beautiful pistachios, very healthy again, touch on the sweet side.
The crispy vermicelli noodles on the outside that create the pastry part of it and stuffed with the gorgeous, the pistachios. I love it so much. It's a perfect way to end a meal, isn't it? Mm. But truffles as well. You've got some chocolate truffles. You've brought those in as well. So lots of different things that you can put into your picnics, very easy picnic ideas to create and just take along with you, and that's what you've brought today. It's all on our social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, and I believe Aisha has been filming as well, the chef talking about it, so you can have a look and see. It is all there. But in terms of the other food trends that you're seeing, what's something else that's coming up on your radar at the moment?
I think other food trends going to be definitely this year. I feel that the global meat production has to change and a lot. When you look at, I think in the US you already see a huge change on grain-fed beef. It's going to be all changing to grass-fed beef. Already has a growth of 5%. Wow. It's just because of grain-fed and all the things has been not this
unsustainable.
Right, and it becomes just a little bit more natural again of the animals itself, how they've been treated up to coming to reach their slaughtering weights. So I think that's something very big, and I think that's something fantastic what globally is evolving. And I think we as chefs again, and as big hotels, as Shangri-La Hotels and Resorts, we need to ensure we are committing to this, and we are part of this change to protect our environments, our sustainability.
Now, we can't let you go without asking you about your food fantasy, Chef Rainer. Tell us.
Well, I think, actually, I would like to go to Mount Everest with a picnic box like this. Having the scorpions playing in the background and a cool party, meeting maybe Halle Berry again, what I met some time ago.
And you met her in Bermuda, I believe?
Right, in Bermuda, yeah.
And what did you cook for her in Bermuda?
Well, a simple catched fish from the Wahoo, actually from a catch from the Atlantic Ocean. Again, you know, this is just, again, some simplicity.
So you've lived your fantasy, really.
Right.
You just want it again.
To relive it,
right,
his fantasy. Yeah.
Right. And actually, I was at Everest Base Camp, and this I said because I only had cup noodles up there. And I said, oh, my God, that will be right. Really nice traveling. I was so time over the around. And I said, well, this will be great. Scorpions, the wind of change, because it's really blowing up there. Very strong one winds, right? And you have good company along with you. And so maybe I have to retry to do it again.
Oh, we look forward to it. When you do, let us know. We'd love to see what you serve up there. Chef Rainer of the Shangri-La Abu Dhabi, Qaryat Al-Birri, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you along with us today. Thank you so much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.